أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإن في الجسد لمضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Most respected elders and brothers, in these verses of the Quran Sharif that we have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses a dua, a supplication which was made by Hazrat Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was a very great Nabi, was regarded as one of the senior Anbiya. Allah Ta'ala had selected and chosen certain Anbiya and given son a rank over the others. Tilka ar-rusul faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. That Allah Ta'ala had selected the prophets and Allah had given some prophets a higher status over others. This is Allah Ta'ala's system. This is the way the world, the system of the world functions. Is that everybody is not equal. In order for the world to function, you have to have some people who are on a higher level, whether it is financially, whether it is intellectually, whether it is in whichever talent they have. Allah blesses some and Allah Ta'ala deprives some. Or Allah Ta'ala gives certain people certain strength and Allah Ta'ala blesses others with some other strength. This is the way the world will function. Can you imagine if everybody was equal? If every single person was a multi-billionaire, and if that person wanted his grass to be cut, or his lawn, or his maintenance of his house to be done, so whoever he would approach, they too are multi-millionaires, they would say to him that, why must I maintain your house? Why don't you come and maintain my house? So what would happen is the person would never be able to achieve any of his tasks. So therefore the wealthy person is in need of the poor person. And the poor person is likewise in need of payment from the wealthy person. Allah Ta'ala has made it such that the world has to function in that manner. But in the eye of Allah, it doesn't mean that the person who has more wealth is greater than the person who's poor, or the person who's more intelligent is greater in the eye of Allah Ta'ala than the person who has a lower IQ. Allah Ta'ala looks at the heart. Allah looks at the condition of the heart. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala looks at the person who has got the highest level of Allah consciousness, who fears Allah the most. So in Allah Ta'ala selected Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wa salam and gave him a very high rank. And his status in the eye of Allah Ta'ala was very high. He was from the forefathers of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is also to the barakat of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam that Allah Ta'ala made it such that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born of that progeny. From Ismail alayhi salam comes Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from that same line of lineage. So Ibrahim alayhi salam made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala recalls and Allah Ta'ala mentions this dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran Sharif. Remember, the Quran al-Kareem, the noble Quran, is a book of guidance. It is a book of hidayat. Sometimes you will find there will be some story in the Quran Sharif. And some people will take those stories and make it like a fairy tale. And they lived happily ever after, those kind of stories. But the reality is that the Quran Sharif is not a storybook. But even the story that is mentioned in the Quran Sharif, there is a purpose, there is a goal, there is objective. There are lessons that we can derive from that story. Every incident that is mentioned in the Quran Sharif, there is a lesson that we can derive therefrom. So Allah Ta'ala similarly records the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam as a lesson to us. That here is this such a great Nabi of Allah, such a close Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is making this kind of a dua. Can we imagine how much more we should be making this dua? So he says, Ya Allah, wa la tukhzini yawma yub'athun. That, oh Allah, do not disgrace me on the day of judgment. On the day of qiyamah, on the day of judgment, do not disgrace me. In this world, if a person is disgraced, and may Allah ta'ala protect us from any form of humiliation and disgrace. But even if a person is disgraced in this world, the person got caught up with drugs, and unfortunately he got caught, and he was exposed for taking drugs. So there is a stigma attached to it. Now the person wants to put a proposal. When they will do investigation, they will say this person was on drugs at one point. So that humiliation in this world will always sometimes haunt the person. It will always be there. But eventually, inshallah, the person sometimes, depending on the kind of vice that he got involved in, the person will be able to overcome it. But on the day of Qiyamah, that disgrace on the day of judgment is very, very severe. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. And that is why Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, do not disgrace me on the day of judgment. It just shows, imagine, this is a Nabi of Allah, whose entire life was in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet look at his humility, look at his fana'iyat, that he didn't really regard himself as such a pious person. Today we just come for Jummah Salah, or perhaps we woke up for Tahajjud. And then as one alim says, if we read Tahajjud, then that after Fajr we go in the mirror to see how much of nur came on our faces. Yes, we have now achieved something, hum to pahunch gaye, that we have already reached. See how pious we are, see how much of Quran Sharif we recite. Or see, we came for Jummah Salah, and see that Mota didn't come for Jummah, and this person didn't come for Jummah. So we quickly get carried away with the little that we do. And the true servants of Allah Ta'ala, namely the Anbiya, the Sahaba-i-Kiram, they did so much, but they thought absolutely nothing of themselves. This was the perfection of their character. And subhanallah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the same. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha states that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform his tahajjud salah hatta tawarramat qadamahu, until Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mubarak feet would become swollen. So long he would stand in salah. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that why are you exerting yourself to this extent? وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, when Allah has forgiven all your sins. And we can elaborate, when Allah has promised you high stages in Jannah, Maqam and Mahmood, what was the need then to exert yourself to this extent? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا, if Allah has been so kind to me, if Allah has blessed me with such bounties, should I then not show my gratitude and appreciation to Allah for blessing me with these bounties? So look at the degree of perfection in the true close servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala bless us with those qualities. That when we, the more we do, the more humble we become. The more we disregard our actions. And again, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, another lesson, he built the Ka'batullah Sharif. What a great thing. Building the house of Allah ta'ala. But even after building the house of Allah ta'ala, what was his attitude? What was his approach? رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Yes, Ya Allah, we built the house. We made an effort. But acceptance is in your hands. You are the one who can accept our effort. If you do not wish to accept it, then you have absolute right to reject our action. So Ya Allah, we are beseeching you, we are begging you that we have made the effort. But Ya Allah, we are asking you that you accept our effort. Because if you do not accept our effort, then it is useless, it is fruitless. So again, the humility of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So he says, Ya Allah, do not disgrace me on the day of Qiyamah. This shows that he regarded his actions, his life, his da'wah, his worship to Allah ta'ala is absolutely nothing. And that he could still be disgraced before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us one dua. مَا عَبَدْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ مَا عَرَفْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ or عِرْفَانِكَ or كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that Ya Allah, we have not really worshipped you in the manner that you should be worshipped. Respected elders and brothers, Allah Ta'ala has created a malaika and angels. There are some angels who are perpetually in the position of sajda. They too are not really doing justice to the great shan of Allah Ta'ala. There are some angels who are perpetually in the position of ruku. They too are not doing justice to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We perform five salah, and perhaps the five salah too, we're not even concentrating in that salah. We don't even know which rakat the Imam Sahib is in. As we mentioned previously, one Imam Sahib was performing Dhuhr Salah on the lighter note. So he's performing the Dhuhr Salah, so instead of four rakats, he read three rakats. So immediately one Musalli stood up and said, Imam Sahib, you read three rakats today. So Imam Sahib asked everybody else, they said, we got no idea, we're not sure. We just follow, carry on. Imam Sahib says, Allahu Akbar, we just go whichever direction. So I said, MashaAllah, what great piety you have, what concentration you have, that you know exactly how many rakats. So he said, no, asal to yahi hai. The reality is this, that I got four shops. So normally I do take stock of all four shops. Today I reached the third shop and you already made salam. So I knew definitely it's not four rakats. Allah hawla wala. They thought he had concentration, he too didn't even have concentration. So that's our ibadat. There's absolute, there's so much of weakness. So there's nothing really that we can really say and present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An incident suddenly comes to mind in the time of Bani Israel. Allah ta'ala blessed many of those people with very long lives. Nuh alayhi salam, his da'wah, his invitation was 950 years. So there was one particular person, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that he lived for 1,500 years. Allah ta'ala granted him that long life. 1,500 years he lived for. And that those years were spent to in the total obedience of Allah ta'ala. Completely devoted to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned that when he was brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it was said to him that Allah will now enter you into Jannah, into paradise due to his mercy, due to his favor upon you. So he objected and he said, What about all the good deeds? I have 1,500 years or 1,000 years of good deeds. What about all of that? So Allah Ta'ala instructed the angel that take him for a tour of Jahannam, of the hellfire. So as he was taken for a tour of hellfire and as he continued, the heat of the fire of Jahannam was so intense, may Allah protect us, that he became extremely thirsty. He became so thirsty that he started pleading with that angel that I need some water, I need some water. So the angel then responded to him that yes, we can give you the water, but there is a payment. There is a payment due for that water. He said, what is the payment? 500 years of ibadat. So this person was desperate. He says, yes, no problem. So 500 years of ibadat, they took him for a tour. As they were returning again, the heat of the fire of Jahannam was so intense that this person was overwhelmed. He said, again, water, water. He says, you know the price. Another 500 years of his ibadat were gone. All 1,000 years of his ibadat were sold. Now he presents himself before Allah Ta'ala. He says, Ya Allah, enter me into your Jannah. I've got no good deeds. Enter me with your rahmah. From this we learn that our ibadat is absolutely nothing in front of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala does not need our ibadah. And therefore our ibadat is not even really worthy of presentation before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And that is why Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu was salam, though he was a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, but he said, Ya Allah, do not disgrace me. وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ On the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment, do not disgrace me, do not humiliate me. And then Allah Ta'ala elaborates with regards to the day of Qiyamah, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ The day of judgment, the day of Qiyamah is such a day in which neither will wealth nor one's children be of any assistance and avail. In this world we find people have contacts, different contacts in departments, and sometimes for the ID, and sometimes for this. Sometimes you pay them, sometimes you've got to do this, but you have a contact. Some work with other people have contacts. Sometimes the person has got friends, and due to his friends he's able to achieve certain things. So in this world, if a person has got friends or he's got wealth, then he can use that wealth to achieve certain things. The person has got sons, he's got a large family, he can use his children to achieve certain things. But on the day of Qiyamah, that wealth will be absolutely useless. There will be no value to that wealth whatsoever. Absolutely no value. The person on the day of judgment, he can try and bribe that angel, listen, you know, I got a certain property in Belito, in Umshlanga, or in Houghton, or in Santon, or I have a certain property front in Cape Town, so you don't want to do a deal here. That angel will say, that's absolutely useless, it means nothing to us. The world and whatever is contained into the world is absolutely nothing in Akhirah. I mentioned this in the one program, Nabi Kareem Sasa mentions, to give the understanding of the value of this world. لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضًا مَا سَقَى مِنْهَا كَافِرًا شَرْبَةَ مَاءٍ Nabi Kareem Sasim said that if this whole world, if this entire world and whatever it contains, whether it's the properties, whether it's the gold, whether it's the silver, whether it's the platinum, whether it's the jewelry, etc., etc., jitne bhi maal hai dunya ke andar, all the wealth of this world, if it even had the value, and again we can highlight that if it even had the value of a wing of a mosquito in the eye of Allah Ta'ala, like how in this world, if a person has go to the jewelry store, and he wants to buy a gold coin, and he goes with one money packet full of mosquito wings. Full of mosquito wings, he says, listen, I came to just move out all the customers here, I want to buy some gold coin. make sure your place is secure. I need to buy a gold coin. And now he pulls out that packet of mosquito wings. They'll all look at each other and they'll probably realize that this person needs to be dispatched to the nearest asylum, that there's probably something wrong with the brains, that he's coming inside here trying to buy gold with mosquito wings. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if the dunya and whatever is contained in the dunya even had that much value in the eye of Allah, even that much, ما سقى منها كافرا شربة ماء, Allah would not have given the disbeliever one sip of water to drink. But because this dunya does not even hold that much value in the eye of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says to the disbelievers, those who reject Allah Ta'ala, those who refuse to obey Allah Ta'ala, that kulu wa tamatta'u, eat as much as you want to eat, enjoy the world as much as you want to enjoy. It is useless, it's nothing. It means nothing to us. Now when the person goes into the akhirah and when he sees what the hereafter is, he'll realize that this world was absolutely nothing. It's like little children who are playing with sand castles. Small children now, they build sand castles and now they're fighting. That my sand castle is better than your sand castle. You see how high my sand castle is. All little children playing with toys and they're comparing their cars. That my car is better than your car. And look how shining the wheels are. And now the adults who are sitting, they're laughing. They're laughing. And look at these children fighting over the cars. If they only know what's the value of these little toys, it's useless. Or the sand castle is absolutely useless. In the same way, or even much more intense, the year after, when a person looks at this world, is absolutely nothing. So therefore, in the day of Qiyamah, the person's wealth, his properties, all his contacts and connections will be of no use to him whatsoever. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. But then Allah Ta'ala mentions an exception to that. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except that person who came before Allah Ta'ala with a pure heart, with a clean heart, with a purified heart. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in one hadith sharif, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضَى, that there is a piece of flesh in the body. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ, that if that piece of flesh is in good condition, it is spiritually sound, صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ, the entire body will be sound. In other words, you will see actions that will emanate from that body, which will be a reflection of the purity of the heart. The actions that will come out will be a reflection of the condition of the heart. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ, and if the heart is corrupt, فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ, the entire body will be corrupt. Now you will see the person deceiving the customers. Now you will see the persons using the tongue to insult people, using the tongue to belittle people. Now that person will use his hands to hurt others. He'll use his wiles to bully people. He'll use his authority to oppress others. This is a reflection of the corruption that is within the heart. And then Nabi Kareem Sassam said, Allah wa hiya al-qalb. Listen very carefully. It is the heart. It is the heart. And this is the same thing that Allah Ta'ala speaks about. That person who presents himself on the day of Qiyamah with a qalb salim, with a purified heart, then that person will not be disgraced on the day of Qiyamah. In fact, the person who had a purified heart, he could even fall under the categories of those individuals who will find shade under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to the purity of the heart from which actions will conform. There will be a conformity in the actions. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, for example, that youngster who's sacrificed his youth, he sacrificed his youth in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or that individual, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ, that person whose heart was attached to the masjid, on the day of Qiyamah, he will be given shade under the arsh of Allah ta'ala. We don't have the time to go into the tafsir, but inshallah we will complete it. Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned five tafsirs, five commentaries on what is qalb salim. How will we know whether we have a qalb salim or not? We can, each person can say, make a claim. Person can say, main to bahut nek aadmi hu, I am a very pious person. The person says, meh. They say on the day of Qurbani, when the sheep makes too much meh, then they make zabah of that sheep. The person who keeps on saying, me, myself and I, and makes a lot of claims about, I am so pious, and I am this, and I am that. And that is the person who is absolutely empty. They say the tree, that is fully laden with fruit, you will notice that the branches will fall down to the earth. And that tree which is khali, which is empty, then that one wants to be high up in the sky. Another example that comes to mind is that seed. The seed that allows itself to be buried beneath the earth, that is the seed that will germinate and produce many, many fruits from which so many people will benefit. But that seed, figuratively, that refuses to bury itself, that wants to remain high above the ground, that no, I don't want to go beneath the sand. I am a seed. Everybody must see that who I am. And that seed becomes useless. The winds, the sun dries it up, and the wind blows it, and it becomes good for nothing. So in the same way, that individual who learns to annihilate himself, that he doesn't make any claims of piety to himself, that if anything he achieves, he attributes it to Allah Ta'ala. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. That if the person was able to do some good deed, say, Allah Ta'ala is the one who guided me. Allah is the one who inspired me. Then you will find that that person will become beneficial for others. And Allah Ta'ala will then elevate that person's state. So we can all make a claim that we have got qalb-e salim. It's like how in the medical field, the person will say, no, there's nothing wrong with me. The person is very ill, but he said, no, I'm fine. He said, why didn't you go to the doctor? The doctor will examine you, he'll do the test, and let's see the results of the test. You need to go to do the test to see the results, and then we'll know. In the same way, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the muhaddithin, the mufassireen, have given us some kind of a test to do. An examination or an evaluation that we can take on ourselves to see whether we have got signs of a qalb-e saleem or not. So Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi in Ruh al-Ma'ani has mentioned the five tafsirs of qalb-e saleem, that who is that person who has got a qalb-e saleem? Again, for those brothers who are coming in late, we mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has spoken about the purified heart. And Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua that, Ya Allah, do not disgrace me on the day of Qiyamah, on that day when nothing will be of any assistance except that person who comes with a purified heart. Now how do we know we have a purified heart? And we've come to that point. The first sign is Alladhi yurshidu banihi ila al-haq. That person who guides and directs his children to the right path. Remember, hidayat is not in the hands of any person. Hidayat is not in the hands of any person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the closest to Allah Ta'ala. If hidayat was in the hands of any person, it would have been the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yet we find that there are so many individuals who are close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet they didn't get hidayat. For example, Abu Talib, who was the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved so dearly, who married Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, assisted him, paid for the dowry, brought him up, who supported him, who motivated him, who defended him. Yet, when he was in the last stages of his life, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached his uncle. He says, oh my beloved uncle, you just recite the kalima, that's all. Just recite the kalima and I will intercede on your behalf. But then what was his response? He said, لَخْتَرْتُ النَّارَ عَلَى الْعَارِ. He says, I prefer that I go to the fire of Jahannam, but I don't want my friends and my forefathers and my children to say that I have forsaken the way of my forefathers. Allahu Akbar. Nabi Kareem Sasam mentioned that his uncle will be given the lowest form of punishment in the fire of Jahannam, which will be that he will be made to wear shoes that will cause the brains to boil. So here you find a close, dear uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet he was deprived of iman and hidayat. And it is on this occasion that Allah Ta'ala mentioned, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. That, O Nabi of Allah, you cannot give hidayat to who you love. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاء. But it is Allah who gives hidayat to whomsoever He wishes. Allah is the one who chooses. Allah is the one who gives hidayat. So yes, no father, no parent can give hidayat to the child. But we can all make an effort to create an environment that is conducive for hidayat. So this is a sign of qalb-e saleem, that person who directs his child or creates an environment for the child to go towards the right direction. Alladhi yurshidu banihi ila al-haq, that individual who directs his children to the right path. This is a sign of qalb-e saleem. This is one sign, one indication that the person has got a purified heart. The time is already expired, inshallah, in the next Jummah we'll continue this discussion. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those who develop a purified heart. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the person whose heart is purified, the entire body, you will find pure actions will emanate from that body. And that person who has a corrupt heart, you will find that corrupt actions will emanate from that body. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and the realization with regards to the importance of purifying our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restore the dignity of the ummah of Rasulullah s.a.w. May Allah ta'ala change the conditions in this country from insecurity to security, from instability to stability. May Allah ta'ala unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah s.a.w. Wa akhir da'ana alhamdulillah.